Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
Many today, even within the church, are teaching that living for reward is a bad thing. It's sort of a sub-Christian motive. They say that it's crass, you know, and it's shallow, and it's cheap, and it's selfish. They say, you should do good for good's sake alone, just for the sake of virtue alone, not to get anything out of it for yourself. You shouldn't do it for personal gain. There are a lot of Bible teachers that teach this. But it's an idea that came not from the Bible, but from human philosophy, particularly that of Kant. And what Kant and the people who follow him fail to understand is that the morality of an act is not related to whether or not there's a reward, nor is it related to whether your motive is to get reward. The issue is what reward motivates you. Everybody does everything they do for some kind of a reward. The issue is what kind of reward will motivate you. What are you trying to get? And that's the point Jesus is making in this chapter. He doesn't say don't seek reward. He says don't seek reward from the wrong source. Instead, seek it from the right source. And if Jesus commands something, then it's good and holy and righteous and virtuous and not in any sense tainted or sub-Christian. If he says seeking reward is good, it's good. It is more virtuous to be motivated by reward from God than to be motivated by virtue for virtue's sake. So living for reward is a mark of faith, and it's not a small issue in the Christian life. It is huge because it's all about faith. I mean, just think about this. Think about the logic of what Jesus is saying here. Think of all the reasons Jesus could have given us to motivate it, why we should avoid hypocrisy, why we should avoid seeking personal glory for our own righteousness. He could have given us a million reasons, but the one he brings up is the fact that it won't be rewarded. Therefore, it should be rejected. Now, think of the logic of that. He used the same logic a few verses earlier in chapter 5, didn't he? He said, that's why you shouldn't love like the tax collectors, because what reward will you get? The force of that logic is that anything that won't be rewarded must be rejected. The only reason to do anything is if it'll be rewarded by God. Nothing is worth doing if it won't be rewarded by God. Otherwise, if that's not true, then Jesus' logic doesn't stand. If sometimes, every once in a while, there's something that won't be rewarded, but it's still okay to do it, then Jesus' logic here doesn't stand. In order for his logic to stand, everything that won't be rewarded must be rejected. In other words, everything that won't be rewarded by God is sin. Everything that won't be rewarded by God is sin. Which means, anything that isn't sin will be rewarded by God. I know this is kind of simple here, but just walk through it with me. Anything you ever do that isn't sin will be rewarded by God. Think of the implications of that. If you drink a glass of water in a sinful way, of course that'll be punished, but it won't be rewarded. But if you drink a glass of water in a non-sinful way, it's righteousness, and it will be rewarded by God. Drinking a glass of water. Any moment you're doing what God wants you to do, anytime you're ever doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're doing righteousness, and it will be rewarded by God. I mean, do you realize how high Jesus elevates the importance of our deeds, our actions, just our day-to-day actions? Everything you ever do will be either punished or rewarded. Everything. The negative side of that is terrifying, but the positive side, I think, for some Christians, is revolutionary. It's just a new idea. It's a foreign idea to them. There are many Christians who can't conceive of God being pleased with them at all. Or only on rare occasions, maybe. They think God is one of those fathers who scolds his child every time he does anything wrong, every time he makes a mistake, but then when he does something right, the father just kind of shrugs it off as just to be expected, or fails to even notice it at all, or finds some little fault with it. And people think God is like that. God is not like that. He's the opposite of that. God is in heaven watching you all day long saying, Reward. 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 Okay, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Ooh, there's a big one. Pile it on, Michael. Pile it on. Reward. 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 Oh, there's a reward. He's doing that all day. God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6. And you must believe that in order to become a Christian, because if you believe in a God who isn't a rewarder, you believe in a false God. This is an important doctrine, even though it's a foreign concept to people who think that God is always down on you, always unhappy with you, always disappointed in you. It's a foreign concept to folks like that. You know what? I think it's also a foreign concept to those people on the other end of the spectrum who they just think God is a big giant Santa Claus who just loves everybody and everything exactly the same all the time without even thinking, and he's nothing but just a big jolly bunch of ho-ho-hos, and you know, that's all he is. Those are the people who redefine the grace to mean, they pervert grace to mean, oh, God is just happy with everything we do, displeased with nothing, and those people think of God as loving them and pleased with them, but their conception of God's love and pleasure is empty. It's almost meaningless. Because he loves everybody and everything all the same. Now we need to be a little bit careful here, because there is a sense in which God is pleased with his children and delights in us continuously, regardless of our behavior. There is a very real sense in which his pleasure in us in Christ is constant. However, there's another sense in which God's pleasure in us is tied to our behavior. Scripture speaks very often of grieving God, angering God, pleasing God. 2 Corinthians 5:9. We make it our goal to please him. That would be meaningless if God's pleasure in us never increased or decreased in any way. And this isn't that hard to understand, how there could be a constant kind of pleasure in us and a varying kind that is tied to our actions. That's easy to understand, especially if you're a parent. I mean, I love my kids. I always love my kids. And even when they disobey me in some terrible way, they're still my kids and I still love them. They're still in the family and I still love them. But that doesn't mean that our relationship is always exactly the same at every moment. I love them all the time, but sometimes I'm upset with them. And sometimes I'm disappointed. And sometimes I'm especially thrilled with them. And sometimes, most of the time, I'm particularly proud of them. Positionally, our status with God is always the same. But relationally, it's possible to sometimes grieve him and sometimes please him. It's very clear in Scripture, and people who fail to recognize that can't appreciate the times when God is particularly pleased with them. There are times like that. You know, there's times when God is especially happy with you. Those are the times that he rewards you. That's why he rewards you. Nobody rewards something that they don't care about. God rewards the things that he likes. That's why reward is such a precious and important doctrine, because it shows us the heart of God. It shows us what he likes. So anytime he's rewarding you, it's because he's especially happy with what you're doing at that moment. This is why I titled the sermon, Living for the Pleasure of God. I could have just as well titled it, Living for Reward. Because living for reward and living for the pleasure of God are exactly the same thing. You see that? That's why reward is thrilling to us, because it means he's pleased. The actual reward itself is really nothing. What's something to us is what it means. I think the reason a lot of people have been down on reward is because they just think of the reward and not the meaning. Don't think of reward as stuff. Think of it as the smile of God. It's a relational thing. God rewards you whenever you do something he especially likes. And anything you ever do that isn't sin is one of those times when God is especially pleased with you and is rewarding you. And I think that should revolutionize everything we do. I mean, it should have an impact on everything we do. Everything you know that God wants you to do, whether it seems spiritual or mundane, like getting out of bed in the morning when you're supposed to get out of bed, taking a shower, doing a chore, eating a meal, everything we do, we should do for the pleasure of God. That's what the Christian life is. If your alarm is going off and you're debating about the snooze button again, the issue isn't just, well, what will be the consequences if I sleep too long or if I get up now? The issue is, I know God wants me to get up, which means he will richly reward me if I do so. The question is, do I believe that? We should get out of bed for the glory of God. And anytime you know that you should make a hard phone call, or you should exercise, or you should put the bag of potato chips away, or, you know, do your homework, or whatever it's hard for you to do, once you're sure that that's what God wants you to be doing at this moment, the question is, God has promised to make it worth my while if I do that. Do I believe that promise? Put the chips away just because you want to lose a few pounds, that glorifies you. You put them away because you believe God's promises, that glorifies God. Remember Jesus in Matthew 5 said, do your good works so that men will glorify God.
Pick out a few of your least favorite daily tasks. Maybe it is getting up out of bed in the morning, cleaning, doing some chore, emails, paperwork, going to work, whatever it is. And figure out a way to continually remind yourself that God will reward you for doing them if you do them because you know he wants you to do them.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.